Blog Talk Radio.
Word up, Wu-Tang up in this joint. Wu-Tang forever. Wu-Tang. 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 Wu-Tang forever. Wu-Tang forever. Wu-Tang forever. The resurrect in your sector. From Shaolin to the holy city of Mecca. Yo, yo, assassination, vaccination, poor education, infatuation with Satan, real global nation, taxation, Bible optic, microscopic, biological germ, mad cow, burglar on the market, chaplain of your starship. I never departed once I started to explore these regions that was uncharted. Leave your heart broken, yo, I stand tall like buildings on Van Dyke or Mike. Beast strike like a noisy Ford train late night. Jace got New York feeling like we out of state. Can't smoke a bone in a staircase without getting chased. Penny candy poisonous rappers. Best to chill or get your head gas. Lemon head, sour patch kids. Best to grab a lifesaver. I drug break ya, Boston bake ya. Then plant my sunflower seed on every square acre. The beauty of my nature shown through Sequoia or Mecca. When I made myself equality, known to my reflector. Stay in your playpen, boy, and battle for your formula and cries. You pacify this lullaby from the black butterfly. This metamorphosis as the king takes his office. Keep my planets in orbit, never forfeit or quit. Move forward, I talk with the awkward slang. I walk with the Wu-Tang. Heavy doors can't be held down by the laws of gravity. Watch for the alarm of the temple trying to plot your tragedy. A game rank with the high fist who's at the banquet. For attempting to hijack the Wu-Tang manager under his blanket. Can't interpret cause your brain is short circuit. This dumbness left your body numbness. Try to come amongst us. What's your angle, rectangle or triangle? As my truth is square, drains you of your power. The death angel strangles you like a weed token, a helpless flower. You cower, you feel the power of the final shower.
www.blogtalkradio.com/knowyourenemy.
KNOWURENNY. And if you want to get into the chat room, all you have to do is click follow on the homepage, set you up an account, and then click on that little line that tells you that we're on here. It should be in red, and you can join us, have conversation, let us know what's on your mind with the politics for a minute, and see what's good. Anyway, I have a whole lot of hot stuff coming up for you this month. I have some people that have been checking out on Reverb Nation because I have almost 500 to 1,000 fans. And it seemed like some people said they want to collab with me or they want to put some music on my stuff. But I've had some people that's from the past that's coming back now and they want to get up on this. So we're going to have some very exciting shows coming up within the next 2 weeks. This week on Friday, I plan on having a person that's a poet, a publisher, cover designer, and let's see, a wonderful person to have as a friend. She's going to be coming on here and sharing her works with us and let us know what she's all about. So I definitely want you to show her some love. I'm going to have like 4 or 5 singers from Reverb Nation that I've been looking at. I'm going to see what's good with them and try and get them on here. I have some bands that from old school music. So if you like hip-hop, the funk, you know, the funk era, not saying hip-hop, like how we got hip-hop today. We're talking about like when, you know, people used to be like breakdancing and chucking and jiving and, you know, when they had the Fat Boys and back, stuff like that. We're going to have them on the show. But for all those people that just want to get a good vibe, good listening, and just have a good time, you know, like I said, just join us, follow us. Hit us up on every network we have. On Twitter at KnowMeKnowMeNot, KNOWKNOWMeNot. And that's Kiami Stimulating Poetry Page. And that's KEYAME apostrophe S. And you can hit me up at my email, DISBEME97@yahoo.com. That's for all those people that want to leave me some ideas. You know, what you want to hear on the show, what kind of topics you might want to have. If you have anybody that wants to be interviewed, if you want to be interviewed, or if you just want to blow the wind and say, you know, you heard something that was great that you want to talk about, or, you know, maybe something that moves you, or maybe just something you could see adding to the show, well, it was good for having advice. And also, for all those that want to be interviewed, once again, my email is DISBEME97@yahoo.com. And what I need from you is your bio kit, 3 clips of your work, contact information, and your pictures. Why do I need that? So I can give you a great interview, ask you the proper questions, make you a nice flyer, and most of all, try to help you get paid. As we know, it's always hard for a person starting off. You need to mold yourself and get your foot in the door, feel confident. So then as other people hear this great interview of yours, then they'll pass it around. And then they'll be like, hey, I want to get you on my show. I want to get you on the big time. I want to get you on contract. I want to get you exclusive premiere. And then you'd be like, hey, you got to start on Deep, Dark, and Dirty. So, yeah, the only thing we say is that you arrive ahead of time. And that if you feel like you're not able to make it, can you give us a 24-hour notice? If you're not able to do 24 hours, then we ask at least to give us 2-hour notice. So just in case if we have a topic that we want to do that night or maybe somebody that wants to come through, and they want to be interviewed, and they can do it at night. And that way we got to be like, well, you know, we had a show, we were supposed to be the person to show up. And it's like, what? You know what I'm saying? So anyway, now with all that out of the way, because I always have to do the little premiere, the little rundown, let everybody know what's going on and everything, because, you know, even though everybody might listen to the show, there always might be a newcomer. So we just want everybody to be in touch with what goes on this network. All right, now without further ado, we're doing pet peeves. What are some of the things that get on your nerves? Once again, the number is 657-383-0967. Well, I know my biggest pet peeve, and I know if Charmin was on here, she'd be able to attest to this. My biggest pet peeve is when people ramble and they just don't know what they're talking about, don't know what they're doing, and that just leads you in any kind of direction. Have you ever had that one person, like you ask for one thing, they go off in another direction, you could look like, but you still haven't even answered the question. Matter of fact, you were up in another instance of something totally different that I was even trying to figure out. I just want to know a yes or no, give me directions for what I need to do, tell me what's going on, and call it a day. Instead, you go through like 15-minute, you know, storyline, and it's like you're up here, the violin's playing, and he's like, you know, Charlie Brown with the womp, 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 and you're just like, you know what, I really don't feel like dealing with this today. Let's move on. Or another thing that's been like a pet peeve of mine, I have a very low tolerance for people that are not cleanly. Because, you know, like, if you ever went to a restaurant, almost OCD, I can't see a person to touch the car, scratch themselves, pick their nose, pick up some money, shake somebody's hand, get a person the money at the cash register, walk over to the Johnson, go ahead and open up the food and just eat it. You look like you just unwrapped your food. You just touched yourself. You just scratched your head. You done had a bird poop and cleaned off your foot. And you just handed somebody some money and touched the door, which everybody else has been touching. You did not wash your hands one time. And then the other thing about that is, what about the people at the restaurants? Why does it seem like when you're at your own house, you know, it has to be tidy, it has to look nice, you know how to pee directly towards the toilet and not have stains and everything everywhere. You don't see droppings on the floor of tissues and stuff like that. When we go to a public restroom, it's almost like you're playing truth or dare. And then it's like on top of that, you got to bring your own sanitary stuff. I almost want to tell somebody to go to the dollar store and just get you another seat and then just shoot the other seat with the little cleanser jumps and then put some, what they call it, like the seat covers over and put your seat over top of it and then roll out, because I'm like, how can you go to a restroom and then not be clean? Another thing is, like I said, with the restaurant, how can you have an establishment that doesn't have it soaked with the water or doesn't have, like, some hand sanitizer? I mean, does anybody ever, like, look at the bathrooms before you actually go to eat your meal? I look like, if they don't have the bathrooms clean, then why would you do it? And they don't like the service if the hands ain't covered, the hair nets ain't on. You mean you can't have anything if a toenail, somebody blew their nose, somebody that spit, somebody got hair, you know, all different kind of particles and stuff. So I'm just looking like, why would you go someplace that's like a conspiracy to you? That's all I got to say on that one. But another thing that's another pet peeve of mine, I hate people that sound ignorant and don't realize they're ignorant. But it's like, okay, since everybody's going along with it, it's just like, okay, it's cool to do. Like this one kid said, I don't believe in abortions, but I'm all down for a miscarriage. I'm like, what is your mentality and who are your parents that taught you that's supposed to be a funny joke? And that makes sense because basically it's almost like saying, okay, you don't want to take her to the doctors or whatever to have her get the baby taken out of her because it costs money, but you're willing to kick her down the stairs and make her lose a baby. I just don't get it. All right, y'all, I got my co-host coming up on the show. Hey, what's up? How you doing, man? Hey, can you
Hello?
Hear me? Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hey,
good.
How you doing, man? What's good? What's good? What's good?
I'm hanging in there, man. I'm just listening to you talk about ignorant people.
Yeah, because, like, the little young boys, right, I was standing outside, you know, just eating my meal, you know, just relaxing because it was, like, a nice day outside or whatever like that. And it was, like, some project-looking areas and tore it down. And the dude said to his homeboy, he's like, man, you know, I'm not down for no abortion, but I'm all down for a miscarriage. And I was like, and I look like, well, let me get this straight. You really said that? I was looking like... You know, you don't usually try to eavesdrop or nothing like that, but basically they walked behind me, so it wasn't like you could have missed hearing them. But then it's like, how did you even come up with making that like a joke? You know what I'm saying? Like, how did you even come up with the idea to say something like that out of your mouth?
Well, ignorance is bliss, just like the Hulk Hogan thing, where he's up there ranting and raving about his daughter dating a black man, and he's cussing. He says the N-word. Whole bunch of times, and
ooh,
everybody gets upset.
I didn't know he said that. Wow.
Yeah, that's why they
that's why he took his
contract. And he said it in a very angry way that he didn't want his daughter dating, you know, N-word. And to me, that's one of my pet peeves.
And all the people that have supported him all these years and liked him and looked at him as a role model, you know how that's going to be looked
what?
At? Oh, he really about to
what
feel
you
it.
Know, If you ever watch wrestling, don't they play like the stereotypes anyway? Some of the things they do. I remember when they had Jimmy Superfly Snuka back in the day. He was Hawaiian and stuff. They would make fun of the Hawaiian people. And if you were Native American,
I'm saying, is it realistic what he's doing or just the play part? Because, I mean, it's one thing if you're saying, like, you're doing it for that part, because what's his name? I can't remember. John Bradshaw. He used to do that, talking about the Mexicans going across seas, and he used to talk about foreigners not working and stuff like that. Now, if you're playing race car, you know, just out of the entertainment part, even though we're not saying it's right, but, you know, you're just doing it as the role play. I can see that part, but when you literally saying that's about, like, your daughter, and you even said the N-word, I mean, that's to a whole nother level, because they don't even use that kind of language on it.
You know how much backlash that would be.
Hypocrisy.
I don't blame you. I'd have been the same way, too.
Because...
Oh, man.
What gets me is, yeah, they fired them, but they have so many stereotypes and so many racial things in WWE wrestling. It's like, come on, man. I mean, yeah, he's wrong for saying it, but I'd rather somebody keep it real with me. If you a redneck and you don't like me, I'd rather you call me the N-word and act like you're my best friend.
But you realize why the reason that is? I mean, this is like universal. They go across these. They help the children. You know, they have like a huge name. You know, for like even helping people with breast cancer and stuff. So I can see why they got rid of him on the backlash. Because, I mean, like, even look at when the basketball team coach, I mean, the owner, you remember what happened with him? He got backlash, and he wasn't even talking to somebody. He was basically just talking to his girlfriend or the whatever she was to him. And all of a sudden, I'm going to make a recording of it and then try to get him to do a party. I'm looking like, now that, if you're having a conversation just you with another person, cool. But if you on the mic and you're in the public eye, it's like, shoot, you really trying to
but
get
no.
yourself screwed. Cause...
That's what happened to Hulk Hogan. He was talking to someone else, a friend, and the friend taped it. He was in his house.
You know what? I'm
sorry,
I know people like that. You're right. Now, that is yeah, freedom of speech. Because, I mean, we joke about that all the time. I mean, you even got on comedians. You got TV shows. I mean, if you're talking just like that, then that's a different case. But I could see if you're saying he went dead in the ring and she was like, oh, I'm about to marry him. He's the person of my dream. You're like, oh, I ain't going to have you marry no nigga. Then I could see some stuff like that. I mean, if you're just having a conversation one-on-one, I mean, what the heck?
Hey.
I mean, we do jokes and we do talks about that on a regular basis, shit.
Hey, hypocrisy. Many of us say it every day, nigga, 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 nigga. Then get mad with someone else saying it. But don't say it. Don't say it.
Well, here's the main thing about it, just to start off with. Back in the day, it's considered derogatory. Nowadays, they try to say, okay, Tupac said it was never into getting goals accomplished. Then another person say, N-U-C-C-A. Then another person say, well, so long as we say it to each other, then it's okay. Or so long as not the white person says it, then it's okay. But then the thing is, well, you think we're derived from, you just made it look even worse, because why would you get it from somebody that's already said something bad about you, and then you try to make it sound like it's good, but then you're still going to be pissed about it?
President,
do you know what I'm saying? that says it all. I mean, like, seriously, it's like your own contradiction to your own self. But, you know, like, here's my pet peeve, since we are on the race car, since you was talking about that. You know, usually they say it's like the youth and then like the blacks and, you know, like the foreigners that's always doing stuff. You know, it's like the last few crimes that's been big, because the church shooting with the white boy, and then you had the white elderly man that was like 58 years old, shot up all them people who moved there. I want to know, like, why in that kind of case, compared to like the Brown case, compared to like the Troy Davis case, compared to like, Trayvon and everything like that, when things were held against a black person, they always try to pin it like, okay, this was the suspect. But then when you see like them and they blatantly did it and it was known that they did it, instead with the white person, they want to find out what was your medical history, what went wrong with you, how your family used to deal with things, or the things you had went through. It's like, why are you trying to find a scapegoat to try to get this person out of their problem? Like, let's start with the first boy. He shot up all them people. It was a known fact that it was even claimed he was a racist. Next minute, it's like, the FBI said we really wasn't supposed to sell him that gum, so it was a misunderstanding about his age. And, oh, he might have a mental disorder as well. And also, he got a GED. I'm like, you got a gun. You shot 9 people. What is your history, your GED, or your age? Can I do anything? So you got to mark a down now because of that. And then next minute, they show us, like, okay, now, okay, he really is going to do some time or whatever the case may be. But it's like, oh, no, you know what? We're in fear of his life. Hold up. Let's back this up again. There was a person that you told not to follow a person, and he went over your head. There was a person that disregarded the cops and did what they're supposed to. That's considered resisting. This was a person that had stalked Trayvon Martin, and they had no issues with it. It took them 3 weeks before they even tried to find out a way to make up an excuse for what they were going to put into the media. And then when you look on YouTube, he specifically says, if I would have known his age, I would not have done it. Hold up. First you stalked a person. Then you claim self-defense. Then you shot a person. So long as they're over the age 18, it's considered self-defense and you wouldn't mind shooting them. But if they're underage, you should apologize because you didn't mean to do it. Well, hold up. If it is self-defense, you're fighting to save your life. So how in the world are you apologizing? And then if you went from what the cops said, you're not supposed to be committing the crime to begin with. You're not supposed to be stalking the person. You're not supposed to be trying to stop the person. And if they're not causing the harm to you, then it's no self-defense. But let's go back to what the movie theater. An elderly man, mad with his life, nothing else to live for. He goes out to shoot somebody. Now they want to put the picture out like, well, you know, the couple was kind of volatile and, you know, such and such happened, but yet you shoot 3 people to kill them and some other people may be injured, and then you might try to shoot yourself to get out of it. Why are you keep covering people up for committing crimes? But if a crime is a crime and anybody is to be charged with evidence of a crime, you turn around when it's a black person and try to pin the crime on them or execute them at the time or falsely arrest them. But when it's a white person, it's like, well, let's give you a little bit of, you know, royalty treatment. Listen to this. You shot 9 people. A church is a place of peace. There's nothing that a person could possibly do to you. They're giving their offering. You could at least just rob the person and call it a day. You find out it's considered a race crime. You pinned on a black person. You said you want to start up a race war. And then you turn around, and they're trying to find a defense for you. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense to me.
You see what I'm saying?
The evidence of a crime is not the crime of the evidence. I know it makes sense, oxymoron. But let me ask you a question. How many black serial killers do you know of? And I'm not talking about the sniper shooters. Now, I'm not talking about them. They don't count. They don't count. They not us. How many...
Oh, you know the only reason why this kind of is because they made it to Virginia. They stayed in Maryland and D.C. It would have been okay. So if you play with the Commonwealth, it's like, oh, no, nah, you're going the wrong direction.
But we don't do stuff like this. We're different as a people. I know it's a different subject, but we're different as a people. I mean, look, we don't follow people around. We know better.
If you want to rob them.
You don't do stuff like that. If I'm scared of you, I'm not going to follow you. When I was a little boy and I was scared of my dad,
even...
and he's going to whoop my butt, I wouldn't follow him around.
But you know what? We talked about this, me and a few people. We're like, okay, you know how they keep making it sound like when you see blacks, you look for them to be rappers or drug dealers or living in the project where they're going to do something wrong. Now, check this out. Look at history. White people taking your land, taking your money, raped your people, gave you diseases, shot you up, made you enslaved, and then turn around and want to get the same parts as you, made yourself bigger than you, look like you, and have your women. So here's my question. How can you say that blacks are ignorant or a threat? And these people have been doing it to you for years, but then everybody praised the person for being white for doing all things wrong, and the black person still looked at it the same way, and they don't see nothing wrong with it. So you're saying because you took their land, raped their people, got pills to make your size bigger, take their money, and they're considered a threat, and yet you still haven't compensated them for a daggone thing, and now you got everybody out here twerking and working and saying yes, master, still to this day. you're happy to be the token and put down your own people. But people don't think like back with Charles Garvey, Malcolm X, Shirley Chisholm, when you actually work to get to what you want, be sufficient and be happy. Instead, you'd rather be the puppet and be a sellout just to have something. Now, does that make sense?
It goes back to slavery. It wasn't meant to make sense. Number one, all white folk doing is going back home to their roots. Everybody comes from Africa. Something in them says, I want to be African. Because that's where I come from. You know, we built pyramids and stuff. So they definitely want to be their ancestors. We all came from Africa. So they feel it deep within them. But, you know, they have it twisted. They use the media as a way to propagandize us and have us think that what we see is not what we really see. It's a slave mentality where it's okay for them to do something, us not to do something. Now, you got to keep in mind what we oftentimes, black people, look at as coonery, the stuff that was entertainment for them. We were out in the field slaving, picking cotton, slaving hard. And he comes out and says, I want to be entertained. Hey, boy, do a dance. We do a dance, he's entertained, he don't beat us that day. He get a little extra scraps. We take it. And we feel that's the way that we have to be. Why do we go to college? So we can get a good job. And work for who? Not for yourself. You're not for a black person. We've been built this way. Everything we see on TV is built to bring us down so you don't rise up. That's why we got men wearing dresses. Everything you see on TV is built this way. I've seen guys twerking.
You know what? You know, as soon as you said that, John, that took me back to some stuff, and that's why I said I just can't do it. When I see this stuff like the Transformers, when you're really supposed to be really a man and not dig in the booty and turn yourself out and confused about your origin and cutting off your body parts, if you're gay, you're gay, you know, you're dealing with whoever you want. But then when you super get into these feminizations, telling a woman how she's supposed to dress, or then when you want to get the lawyer side because you want to be the female, but then you want to fight the nigga, and then you want to get mad if the nigga whoop your tail, but you want to play back that you're a woman. I mean, it's too much confusion. It's just like when they approved the gay jumps with getting married. I thought, okay, people want to be with who they want to be with, but then you got to look at all this other stuff that's going on. So now how are you going to explain about the thing about man and woman, the abomination that's in the Bible? How are you going to be like, preach the word on Sunday and you live in a contradiction? It's like too many contradictions going on. Because like even with like how just churches alone, yeah, churches talking about you got to pay for a membership to get in. You got people talking about if you pay this much, God will bless you. You got people going off of your money to go across seas. So it's like, how many contradictions do we have to deal with? And like, that's my biggest thing. The contradictions about sexuality, the contradictions about what makes you a real man, contradictions about how we're supposed to be, you know, trusting the law, and the laws end up using it to, like, benefit people doing criminal instead of helping the ones that are civilians, and then the fact that this whole race war thing going on. So it's like, how do we have a normal life, live regular, not deal with drama, not deal with craziness, and I have stupid stuff happening, and people actually think it makes sense? Because it's like that young boy that we started off with. What mentality would tell you to say, well, I don't approve of abortions, but I'm all for having a miscarriage? Who teaches somebody like that? And then, like I say with the law, how do you pin a guy down for selling cigarettes illegally and choke him to death, but then you put a person on a pedestal for shooting 9 people at a church, and you're trying to find them some forgiveness? Sorry, I mean, you done committed the crime. It's time for you to do what you gotta do. You want to start a race war? You want to be like the Illuminati, be the person that has to be taken out, like how all these family members try to get fame and stuff, or try to get known, or try to act like, you know, they're above and they're a higher power because of what they do? You gotta take the time or take the punishment or whatever has to happen. It is like if a person, I believe, does something wrong to women or children or elderly, I feel like you should put them in a cage with an animal and just let it go to work. Or put it like this, if you feel like we're going to an overpopulation of too many crimes, too many gangs, too many areas messed up, Why don't you send those people over to war? You don't have nothing else left to do. You don't have no kind of morality. You don't have no more trying to work ethics or anything like that. Stop letting people keep doing things over and over and over to mess up society. Send them across seas. Have them go into a third country dealing with human trafficking, being slaughtered, dealing with disease, being in trap, having somebody punish them and try to act like they're torturing them. And then you see if they could come back to America the same way. I promise you, for what they get taught over in Arabia, they have people that have bombs and carriages. They have people in China that get whipped with daggone bamboo sticks to learn how to sing. I promise you, if you put them in a third world country, you will see America have a big change. You see, when people come over here for freedom, they do it for their education. They do it for their money. They do it to get out of a bad situation, and they bring their families over here so they can have peace and safety. But that's why I said it's so many contradictions in society. That's just crazy.
Well, that contradiction is based on money. You know, it's based on money. It's too much like right to do that. But if I can keep you here, and although you mess with society, somebody's going to make money off you. It costs money to put somebody in prison. You pay somebody to chase them around to arrest them. Then you pay somebody to put them in the jail cell. Then you pay somebody to adjudicate them. Then you pay somebody to keep them in the jail cell. Then they got to eat. You got to feed them. Then they give them cable TV. They do all these different things, toothbrush, toothpaste, combs, clothes. There's so much money in it. This society is all about money. It's not about morality anymore. It's about money. Best example, what you said about people who are homosexual, okay? Preach man would sit up there. He would talk about homosexuals being an abomination. He'll use Leviticus and say in Leviticus it says man can't lay with another man. It also says in Leviticus, if you're with your wife and she's on her cycle, you can't be in the same house as her. That's what being in the same bed as her, but that's in Leviticus. That's here, no there. But he'll preach that. But yet look at his choir. How many gospel songs do you hear that are written by someone who's homosexual? How many choir directors, the people in the choir, are homosexual? He won't say nothing to them because they make him money. They make the church money. So it's okay as long as the money's being made. That's
well, like I said, that's why it's a lot of contradiction. Because if you look at TVN, they'll even show you like how some people say when you go to church, it says, you know, about paying dues and stuff like that. But the only dues you're supposed to pay is tithes and offering. That's what it says, right? You may not pay for expansion. You pay for the love offering. You pay for building. You pay for trips. You don't pay for almost like five different things. Then they had this jump on TV that he was talking about. You have the gold membership, the silver membership, the bronze membership. Then you have another jump talking about if you buy this prayer shawl, if you buy this like Bible or some kind of thing, they'll be like, it's like $100 or $200 and you'll be blessed. Or it'd be like, yeah, the Lord told me, like, 10 of y'all got $5,000, $10,000, and don't be trying to not listen. Do it right now. So I was like, okay, if it's seven people, then you don't even have to go on TV right now because God's going to show you exactly where these seven people at. But like I said, they do exactly what Christ said. He said, do not turn my Father's house into a storehouse. And that's what it came down to. He even had a church that you even talked about looking for your credit check. God didn't ask you for all that. He said, come as you are. So if you start with come as you are, if you're doing tithes and offering, if you're preaching the word, if you're going out to all the people, which most people don't, you're just going on TV and have a simple conversation. And where's all this other affiliation and new verses and changing words that they're coming from? It's like they're just talking just to talk. You get what I'm saying?
It's
you
about
do all this thing, that's a problem. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just like the schools, they don't guarantee you a job, they don't guarantee you a career. They say it's going to work. But then when you do it, the school's not accredited. People never heard of it. The classes aren't transferable. You got the fact of the interest on the money. So how the world you go from, you're supposed to get jobs, careers, be established, have something to work with, and then you're in debt. You owe a salary. Matter of fact, you might even owe three or four salaries. And you went to school for what? Now you end up going and having to work at McDonald's or Walmart. $8 an hour, and you just spend $80,000 plus interest just to go to school. That's why we need to start educating people on making businesses, doing tax write-offs, doing grants, getting proposals, working together instead of being so divided. See, when people be divided and being greedy, that's why if we was to actually have, what's the current dude there? I'm trying to figure out, Donald Trump. If he was actually to make it into the economy for becoming a president, because, you know, he's self-sufficient in all his business and trades, after everything that I heard he done said, do you really think there's going to be any underclass or underprivileged or anybody that is in real need? He's going to be the one that's going to be basically like, if you ain't a millionaire or a billionaire, you just short out of luck. So what do you do in that kind of situation?
It's by design. It's by design. If I had my way, I would go to church and I'd preach that I need a spaceship. I don't need a jet because Creflo Dollar has that. I want a spaceship. And I want to find life on Mars. And when I get to Mars, I want to bring a bunch of people there and enslave the Martians. Make them work for me.
Oh, gracious.
And eventually they'll revolt and they'll say, look, we can't be your slaves forever. And I'll go ahead and let them revolt and I'll give them their freedom. But everything I show them on TV, everything they read, be something to make them not really truly be free. I will educate them and teach them what I want them to know. Not their real history, not their Martian history, where they built all their Martian stuff, but, you know, history I feed them. So they'll always be behind me. And they'll only know what I want them to know. That way they won't be independent. They'll be afraid to be on their own. They'll think that the only way they can survive is to have a job working for me.
But you know what? You actually would actually be kind of touching on something that's actually happened to some degree. Because if you look at, like, Planet of the Apes, they try to say they were basically trying to use the apes like black folks. And that basically that's what they used to try to do for enslaving us. Because, like, if you remember, like, Sarah Bartman, they tried to make it look like when they looked at her skull because of what they did to her, they tried to compare black people always to apes. I don't know how we was the only race out of everybody that he had compared to apes, but that's what they try to say. So basically, it's like they turned her into a prostitute. They used her for a circus fund. And then they put her body into a museum so they could study it. And then, like, years later, they finally sent it back to her family. But yet they had her vagina, her brain, and, like, some other organ. Because they was, like, they were so fascinated with the black person. So basically, they've always been trying to figure us out and use everything as we're, like, a lab experiment. But it's like, who's that sadistic to think of an idea like that and put it on display? Because, matter of fact, I even have it on my flyer for the show. They actually made a cake out of Sarah Bartman, had all white people around it, eating from it, taking pictures, and smiling, that you just end up totally degrading the black woman and is partying about it. So, like, your theory about the whole entrapment thing, that's actually what people have been doing for years through different movies and trying to show you, like, what they're really trying to get back to. Because, like, even with the 2012 movie, it was showing, like, basically, okay, you're not of this elite group. You don't have this much money. We planned out, it was a long time ago, we was going to make this whole thing about destroying the Earth with all these little climate things. And that's why I tell people, even though you say all these things about us having scientists and they trying to do FDA approved and all that stuff, they're setting you up for something. Because if you look at how the climate's been lately, it's like over here we done had earthquake and then like hurricanes and like what was Seattle, they ended up having snow one time, and then like down south they wasn't used to a certain type of weather. So all this little strange change in weather and stuff, it's a possibility. They didn't do it like how the movie did it, because, you know, everybody would have really had, you know, they would have been having a fallout and some more stuff. But I could see them really doing that. Because back in the day, they talked about they're going to have the FEMA camp, they're going to go to a one-world currency. And then it was like, if you didn't meet the elite, then basically you just short out of luck. So when you see all this stuff about Eastern Stars or people getting off of crimes and you don't know how to where they do and they're talking about they're going under, you need to watch out for stuff like that. Because a lot of these people, you may think like, okay, you say anything, do anything, or you might think like you're establishing nothing's going to happen in the world. But you think these random acts of violence are just happening just because? Nah, that's exactly why with Baltimore, they was into this whole uproar, and they was about to take back what was supposed to be this. But then as soon as that happened, then they was talking about some martial law. So like I said, until people start pulling together, putting their money together, get their education together, get their skills together, start to become a one again, just like how they had to do to get out of slavery, then we got a whole lot of stuff coming down, and people ain't prepared for revelations, because I'm telling you, once you get to that mark of the beast and all the craziness that's going on, you're going to see some eyes opening up.
Well, I'm going to be on my spaceship when y'all go through all that. They find out that, remember that new Earth-like planet, Kepler 452b, the new Earth-like planet that they found, NASA discovered it. I'm going there. I'm going to enslave them people, because last time I checked, and, you know, I could be wrong because I wasn't there, but we always show history of, like, Cro-Magnons and Neanderthals running around up in the mountains with nice and cold, and it's wintertime, and they ride around on the back of dinosaurs and stuff. And while they're doing that, there are people building pyramids. Now, I don't want to be prejudiced here or come across as a racist, but wasn't it black folk building pyramids? And wasn't it the same people that today are trying to show us these images, weren't they the ones kind of running around in caves, freezing cold?
Hey, don't get me the line. I have to go back and research some stuff, but I know definitely the pyramid part is true. But like they said, a lot of people was ignorant with slavery because they thought, okay, just white man and slavery. And you didn't even realize it was your own people even enslaved you. So it's like, shoot, if people really study back their history and look at all the stuff that's ever gone on, you got a whole lot of people you'd be hating them. But we're getting down to like the last 3 minutes of the show, so I want you to give everybody your information and let them know if you have any projects coming up, and then we're going to wrap the show and call it a night.
I got all kinds of stuff. We'll talk about that another time. I'm always busy. Always doing my thing. If anybody's looking to make records, I got them. Holla at your boy. I can get you records going, get it in stores, in the studio, the whole nine. I got what you need.
You got your website, your webpage, anything like that?
Oh, yeah. It's www.shownuffmusic.com. You can Google it. You'll find it. Can't miss it. Doing big things. Again, I don't want to be working for other people, so I work for myself. And anybody that wants to write a grant, holler at your boy. I'll give you the class. I'll actually save you the $700 and give you a class. You can take it on your own and study it, learn to work for yourself, or you can continue being delusional and walk around in darkness.
That's what's up. All right, well, once again, everybody, this is your host, Know Your Enemy. We've had a great show tonight. We're going to be coming back tomorrow night, probably like 11:30. So definitely check us out. And also later on this week, we're going to have, one person that's a singer from Reverb Nation, probably like either like Saturday or Sunday. But on Friday night, we're going to have my friend come on. Oh, yes, trust me. These people that I found on Reverb, they're nothing like in the industry. They're like in the industry. People are just like studio
Reverb
singers.
Reverb Nation, man, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. They
own it. I know. Yeah. Nah, these, when I tell you, they can blow. I'll even send you the link so you can hear them. You'll see exactly what I mean. This girl named Renee Thomas and this other woman named Yuka Rose, they are awesome. If I can get them to come on the show, this is going to be a spectacular performance.
It sounds to me that you should do a talent show on the show. What?
Oh, yeah. We'll do that probably like on a Friday. I'm going to have like the singer on like a Monday, then have like a rapper like on Tuesday, then like have a hip hop poetry Jones on like Wednesday, and then have like a hot topic on Thursday, then like we just bring everybody together on Friday and just close it up and then call it a night. But I'm gonna have my friend Kim Morrow. She's gonna be coming on this Friday. It's gonna be at 11:30. She's gonna be talking about her publishing, all her covers, all the people she's done put out there, and about her business. So once again, everybody, thank you for coming through. See you tomorrow night. Have a blessed one. Take care.